Morning. That was some nice harmony. I heard it down here somewhere. Yeah. Nicely done. We're good singers, aren't we? So we're talking about the 12 powers. We're in this series about the divine attributes that Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, believed are hardwired into all human beings. So when we say we're made in the image and likeness of God, he figured we ought to have access to all the attributes of God. And as human beings, he believed they show up for us in 12 ways. So in this church, we see the 12 powers on quilts around the sanctuary walls. And again, if you're listening online, go to the About Us section of the website and click on Our Quilts. Today, I promised I would tell you the story of the quilts. They're actually older than Chakra Man over here. The quilt started in 2005 when the church was just a year old. How many of you were here when the quilts were created? See, still a bunch of you here. People stay. What they really needed at the time was a sound buffer in this room because the music and the speakers would just ricochet off the bare walls. So first they tried egg carton foam, which was really ugly. And they decided, well, let's put a frame around it. And that was really ugly. So at that time, Mindy Audlin was the spiritual leader here. A spiritual leader in Unity is someone who is in the role of minister, but who is not officially ordained. So Mindy was going back and forth to Unity Village to take classes and get more training. And about, during this time, she was at the village for classes. It's outside of Kansas City, Missouri. And she noticed that one of the chapels at the village had banners hanging on the walls. Aha! Maybe something like that would solve the acoustics problem and look better. So she came back with pictures of those banners. No one I've talked to quite remembers who came up with the idea of making 12 banners for the 12 powers. Mindy says it might have been her idea because she might have taken the 12 powers class on that trip to the village. But the idea to make them into quilts had not shown up yet. They started out as 12 cloth banners representing the 12 powers. They were calling it the Tapestry Project. So early in 2005, the call went out one Sunday morning for people who could sew, even a little. And those who wanted to participate were asked to meet in the fireside room after the service to be matched with the power that called to them most strongly. When they chose their power, they were given a fabric swatch for the color that the border would be, and they were given a one-page outline of what that power was about. And that's it. That's all they had to go on to create these. At that time, the project didn't even have a leader. But as luck and God would have it, there was a woman visiting that church for the first time that day named Brett Adams, and she was... wait for it, a professional quilter. So before the day was over, Brett had signed up to lead the whole project. And that is how the 12 Powers banners became quilts. So let me show you. The quilt artists worked with zeal, we'll talk about that next week, and imagination. This is the quilt of imagination. Some worked alone, some were in pairs or had small teams. They didn't sew at all, as it turned out. They put fabric on sticky backing. And Brett Adams met with them every Sunday after the service to coach them and prod them along. This went on for months. Some of them worked in the chaparral room. Some of them worked at Brett's studio. This is Kelsey Wilson working on the power quilt. Four of these 12 quilts were created by teenage girls. Power, will, order, and strength. This is the face of power. They're really big up close. Here's Peggy Cole, who designed the love quilt over here. You can see how big it is next to Peggy. And this one doesn't have the border or the backing yet. So when a design got this far, when it was ready like this, Brett would take it to her studio to be quilted. She had an enormous quilting machine, and she let some of the church members drive it. That's Nancy Keefe with Sherry Conway. Yeah. And so here's Brett Adams. She added batting, which is the puffy stuff in quilts, the backing, the borders, and the name of each power in these beautiful letters at the bottom. And then she used a unique quilting pattern on each one. And this is what you've got to see. After the service today, come back in here and look more closely at these quilts and the quilting pattern. Because it's amazing. She followed the pattern of each design. When you look at Power on this big face, there's a star quilted into her cheek. And notice the words that are written in her hair. Faith over here, Mindy made this with all these tiny little figures, these people and buildings, or it takes a village in the globe. Each one of those was added individually. And then Renunciation over here has individual leaves on that tree. And they're not all completely tacked down, so it has some dimension and texture to it. The quilts are pretty at a glance, but they are intricate and gorgeous up close. Kind of like people. So they were unveiled one at a time for 12 Sundays. This is Sherry Conway introducing the Imagination Quilt. Each quilt had a designer, but it also had a sponsor who paid $125 for the materials. And then the sponsor got to dedicate the quilt to someone. This is Judith Driscoll and Shay Gardine. Get Judith to tell you the story behind this life quilt sometime. For 12 weeks, the people involved in each quilt told the congregation about it and announced who it was being dedicated to. And then they often stayed after the service to watch their quilt being hung in its place. So when anyone asks who made the quilts, the names are on a plaque in the fireside room, just to the right of the door as you come in the sanctuary. You've walked by it every week. It lists the designer and the sponsor and who it's dedicated to. And you'll walk right past it again, going to the potluck line today. So it occurred to me the quilts were made using the four powers that we'll talk about today. First, imagination, to think up these beautiful colors and designs. Will was the decision to undertake each project with very little coordination. They needed understanding of each power so they could express it, and then the power to carry it out, the creative power expressed in thought, words, and actions. So let's look at the four powers in that order. Imagination is probably the easiest to understand. George Bernard Shaw said, imagination is the beginning of creation. First you imagine what you desire, then you will what you imagine, and finally you create what you will. It begins with imagination. And we might think of imagination as something for children and artists, but it is the thought behind everything that comes into form. In our creation myth, before God said, let there be light, there had to be divine imagination. Imagination is the power to visualize, to envision, to conceptualize, to think outside the box. People with underdeveloped imagination can only see what's in front of them. This is why you stage a house before you sell it. Because so many people can't see past your clutter and your furniture and your paint colors to imagine their own. On the opposite end, egocentric imagination just daydreams without ever accomplishing anything. And daydreaming sounds so pleasant, but it isn't always. Hypochondriacs have overdeveloped imagination. Conspiracy theorists, people who keep predicting the end of the world. Imagination can be used for good or terrible ideas. Children, of course, are especially good at imagination. They see shapes in the clouds. They can look forward to Santa Claus visiting every house in the world in one evening. But engineers use it. If you can visualize a cube and then move it around at different angles, so you're doing that right now, aren't you? That's imagination. Architects are a great example. They can walk into a building and see what's there and also see what it could be. And then I think they switched to their left brain to draw the blueprints and add the details where every electrical outlet will go. And they're still visualizing all the time. Think left, think right, think low, think high. Oh, the thinks you can think up if only you try. Dr. Seuss used his power of imagination. But Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited to all we know and understand, while imagination is the preview of coming attractions. In Unity, we talk about imagination as a creative power. What we think about, what we picture, is what shows up in our lives, good or bad. Imagination is a catalyst to change the world around us. It's how we solve problems. It's also how we worry. So pay attention to how you use imagination. Notice when you're imagining a bad outcome. It occurred to me while I was working on this talk that the voice of the inner critic is just imagination. It's imagining, I'm going to fail. Nobody likes me. I have nothing to offer. So when you hear that voice, remember that imagination can just be switched to another channel. And don't work too hard at imagining good things. Imagination needs to be relaxed. That's why ideas so often pop up when you're in the shower or driving or taking a walk. You also use your imagination in your spiritual life. You imagine that you are a soul with a body. You imagine you have access to all sorts of divine help as you go through this human experience. That's not magical thinking. It's a divine power, and you get to use it for anything you want. Will is the next step. So you've already imagined something. Will is when you choose, decide, determine. Will directs the movie. It yells, action! Underdeveloped will is wishy-washy, not deciding, keeping your options open. Overdeveloped will is bossy, has to have its own way, can't change its mind once a decision is made. Ideally, though, will makes choices from the highest level of being. Choices that are life-affirming and growth-oriented. This is how we create what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven on earth, through our choices. Will can also make bad choices. It decides on chocolate cake instead of the apple. It drives too fast despite the speed limit. It's the teenager who sneaks out of the house after being grounded. Advertising appeals to our will. It wants us to decide to buy a certain product, whether we need it or not. Remember that? Watching Super Bowl commercials tonight. Will has to be used with wisdom and understanding. We are creatures of free will. One of the worst things we do to each other is remove the freedom to exercise will, to make choices. Prisoners don't get to use will. They're told where to go, what to eat, what to wear. Not surprisingly, they sometimes act out. But also think of college kids whose parents insist they go into a certain profession. I think children are robbed of their will a lot. And it must be tricky as a parent to respect the will of your child to make his or her own decisions, while you know they're still learning to use wisdom and understanding. The power of will is not to be confused with God's will. Actually, your will is God's will for you. There's no deity out there micromanaging your life. It's a presence that provides space for you to make choices, to be the best you can be, and it provides unlimited help. It takes will to live as a spiritual being when you're surrounded by negativity. It takes will to align every thought and deed with the awareness of divine laws, as Jesus did. Where there's a will, though, there's a way. And here's the way. W-A-Y. Here's the way to live as a spiritual being. W, work the principles. Know that there's only one power, that we are God with divine attributes at our disposal. And all the resources we need already exist in spirit. Work the principles. A, access spirit. Stay prayed up. Never go far from your divine connection, especially when you have an important decision to make. And why? Yield to divine ideas, not appearances. Understanding knows there's a bigger picture. Will moves you into it. But you can still see how will really can't be trusted alone. Its decisions are only as good as the input it receives. So let's talk about understanding. Understanding is the power to comprehend and interpret knowledge, to make cognitive connections. In other words, it's when you slap your forehead and say, "I get it." People without much understanding have trouble seeing beyond the literal. They stay on the surface. Overdeveloped understanding sees things that aren't there, overanalyzes, overinterprets. Understanding is when the light dawns, the penny drops, the tumblers fall into place, and it all makes sense so deeply that you can live from that awareness. In divine consciousness, we use understanding to live by spiritual principles. Our church donated a sculpture to Unity Village to represent the power of understanding. There it is. There was an artist, is an artist in Kansas City who designed 12 sculptures to represent the 12 powers. And they're all a lot like this. Each one is different, but they're similar and they're abstract. There's a plaque on this one that says, "The Power of Understanding sculpture has been lovingly provided by the Congregation of Unity of Wimberley, Texas." So all the thousands of people who visit the village every year will see that. The 12 sculptures are in a garden that surrounds the base of the tower, which is the icon of Unity Village. And each one has the sculpture and the plaque and a bench beside it so you can sit there and contemplate that power. Understanding puts it all together. You could say it's a body of knowledge that has settled into your bones. It's the way Kit understands music or Jason understands sound. It's not just book learning. It's making sense of things, figuring out what to do, recovering quickly if something goes wrong because you understand it so well. The Super Bowl quarterbacks understand the game. And it makes them flexible, adaptable, strategic. They can think on their feet really quickly. And like all powers, understanding can be used in ways that don't serve us. Unconscious understanding is what we call limiting beliefs. It is possible to put together facts and observations and reach the wrong understanding, like a child who thinks he's to blame for his parents' divorce. Conscious understanding is based on senses. You can pick up your phone, look at the temperature, know how to dress for the day without ever stepping foot outside, because you understand weather. Remember when we did the StrengthsFinder survey? We've done it several times. How many of you have connectedness as a strength? A whole bunch of us had that one. A lot of you don't remember, do you? Connectedness is understanding. Connectedness is in the relationship category of strengths, but it's not necessarily about people. It's awareness of something larger than yourself, the ability to connect the dots, to see systems, to put things in context or in relationship to each other. Spiritual understanding is knowing our divine nature even in our human experience. Emily Cady, in Lessons in Truth, which is a Unity classic, said, "You won't have spiritual understanding until down in the depths of your being, you are conscious of your oneness with the eternal presence. Until you know within yourself that the spring of all wisdom and health and joy is within your own being, ready at any moment to leap forth at the call of your need." You remember that scene in The Miracle Worker when Helen Keller finally realizes everything has a name and the letters her teacher has been spelling in her hand represent those things? She didn't just get the words. She got the whole concept of language. That's understanding. And finally, power. Power is mastery. It's authority over your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. When we say in unity, you can choose what you think and feel, that's power. When we say name it and claim it, that's power. When we say you're the creator of your own experience, you have the power to create your experience. Underdeveloped power is always a victim, always looking outside herself for answers. Overdeveloped power is a ruler on a throne. And there are times when taking control of a situation is the right thing to do. Parenting calls for that. Or you might take control of your own parents' finances when they can no longer manage. But power is not a bulldozer. It works with wisdom and love and understanding to achieve mastery. Eventually, we master divine ideas, command our consciousness, create our experience deliberately. Power is different from strength, which we talked about last week. Strength is persistence. You stay the course. Power is mastery, to be proficient. So you might use strength to persist in something until you master it, have power over it. Spiritually, we use power to clear out all beliefs, to change our thoughts, to overcome our mistaken understandings. Will makes the decision to do that, but power carries it out. Every power is linked with a part of the body, and Fillmore assigned power to the throat. Our words have power. They are charged with the energy of your consciousness. So whatever you think and then speak begins to create whatever you said. That's why we pay so much attention to our words in unity, denials and affirmations, prayer and gratitude. Speaking it out loud increases its power. The Fillmore said, you should never say anything that you don't want to be true. Even if it appears true, like I'm coming down with a cold. If you don't want it in your life, don't say it. Try that this week. I know. You're thinking, how will I have a conversation? So Paul Hasselbeck, who is on the faculty at Unity Village, has written books about the 12 powers, and he offers three P's for how to use your power in your words. Be positive. Focus on what's going right. Look for solutions instead of dwelling on the problems. Be passionate. Speak your vision with boldness and authority. We practice this in prosperity class. And be proactive. Focus on ways to move forward and anticipate success. Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Which only means, whatever you say comes to pass. Your words reflect your consciousness, so make them life-affirming instead of self-defeating. You have the power to become a spiritual master. That's what we keep working on here. Using these 12 powers, these divine attributes, you can claim dominion over your personal universe. And next week, we'll learn how to do it with order and zeal. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's begin as we always do, but just taking a deep, deep breath, settling into our chairs with our feet flat on the floor. Bringing our attention to the third eye, that space right between the eyebrows. as you find yourself becoming more and more still. Begin to bring your attention to your heart space. Use the power of imagination. To begin to feel the power of the divine presence moving in and through you. Give it a color. Give it a temperature. Let it breathe you. Let it move into that level of understanding. That gives you that quiet, absolute knowing. Of the power that you possess. Expressing as God, as you, on this plane, in this time and space. Let yourself know how amazingly powerful you are. Shoulders go back. Imagine yourself standing, breathing, arms in the air. Simply saying, I am. without expressing. And breathe in, bring yourself, your big, beautiful, bold, powerful self, back into this room. Of the chair that you're sitting on. And aware of those other beautiful, divine, unique, powerful souls sitting next to you, behind you. Let's affirm that power right now in the Alleluia. Alleluia.